Hello, everyone, and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the Bible teaching ministry that's here to encourage and inspire you every day. And today, we're continuing our series called Awesome Relationships. In it, Rick Warren shares practical ways to help you take your relationships with family, friends, coworkers, and even God from ordinary to extraordinary. And this is a series you don't want to miss. And now let's go to Rick for the final part of a message called Fighting for an Awesome Marriage.
We have it in our family, what we call the 5-second rule, which is called love my idea for 5 seconds. Because when one of us has an idea for a change, usually the other one is automatically going to, why? Why? And so rather than immediately moving into judgmental mode, we say, okay, I'm going to share an idea. Love it for 5 seconds.
That has been revolutionary in our relationship.
That will save your marriage. Go home. That's all you need. But the other thing about change is it does the antidote to boredom. You've got to keep your marriage fun. And so you've got to work at creativity for the opposite of boredom. I remember one time, Kay knows that I like hot sauces. I collect hot sauces. I have over 350 different bottles of hot sauce from around the world. I don't just believe in hell. I eat it. Okay.
And he burps it too.
And so, what's that? What'd you say? I didn't hear what you said.
Nothing.
What? That was just, slid that one under there. That's getting edited before 1 o'clock, whatever it was. I don't know. But one time, just creativity. Kay knew I like hot sauce. She walks in and plops down a couple of airplane tickets. And I go, what's that? She goes, I'm taking you this weekend to Albuquerque. I said, what in the world is in Albuquerque? She said, the International Hot Sauce Convention. I go, what a woman. I want to tell you, that is a godly woman right there. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So
blessed art thou.
I'll tell you later what I said. In the season of change, then adjust. But then sometimes change is negative because you look at each other and you go, you're never going to change, are you? You know, you get in those stuck places and you realize you're so different. When Rick has said through these years that we are different, it's not just to make this nice little point in a marriage sermon. No, yeah. We are so, if there's a category of so different, we fall into that so different category.
We're over that one.
We are over the top on that. I mean, he is playful. I'm serious. He's an extrovert. I'm an introvert. He is Tigor. Man, I'm having trouble in this service talking. He's Tigger. I'm Eeyore.
I like to interrupt. You hate it.
Yeah. He's impulsive and spontaneous. I'm a planner. He's big picture. I'm detail. I mean, you know, I see all these services. I keep seeing these little things on the carpet, little threads. And I'm like, I got to get those threads off the carpet because I'm so detail-oriented.
I don't see it.
Yeah. And he's like, what are you talking about? I don't even see what you mean. And it's funny until you get down to real life situations where you see things differently and you've got to come up with some sort of a, how do you get along when you're so different?
Well, and it doesn't stop. I mean, we've been married now a long time.
How many years?
39 years. Good. I mean, just this week, we were looking at something we were changing in our house. And she goes, I think that's too big. And I'm going, I think that's too small. I think that's too... Well, look at it from this angle. We walk over here from the living room. Look at it from this angle. And she goes, well, we just see things differently. I go, well, that's never happened. There are things that are going to be constantly changing in your marriage, but there's some stuff that's not going to change. And what's not going to change is your personality. So you got to decide, are you just going to accept that and love it, or do you have to force them to change before you love them?
I will confess that I have opted for the force him to change approach many times. It's the honest truth. I'm being really real with you. I can just give you an example. For years, first of all, he grew up in the country, and they never locked doors. And I grew up in the city.
My bedroom had an outside door, and I never even closed it.
Yeah.
I'd sleep with open it.
I'm aware of that, yes. So, and that thought always bothered in our marriage because we would get into bed at night and I would say to him as we're drifting off to sleep, did you lock the doors? And he would say, No. Why are you asking me right now? Why didn't you ask me 15 minutes ago? And I'm like, because we weren't in bed 15 minutes ago. You're supposed to lock the door before we go to bed. And so he would sometimes, in a very grumpy, very unhappy way, trudge down the stairs and lock the doors.
You would wait till my head was on the pillow.
But it wasn't like...
And I'd go, come on.
But it wasn't like you didn't
I mean, women, here's the word. Don't start a conversation when your husband puts his head down. The foremost feared word by any husband when he puts his head down are, we need to talk.
No, you just need to... I didn't want to talk. I just wanted to know if you locked the door.
Are you kidding me?
Okay. So how many nights was there the obligation to lock the door? Oh, well, only 365. I mean, you know, so we would have this ongoing struggle. And as you can see, it didn't ever go very well. So sometimes he would go down and lock the doors and come back up and be irritated with me. And then I'd be irritated because I had to ask him. And then sometimes I would say, did you lock the doors? And he would say, yes. And I would think to myself, I bet he didn't. And so I would go downstairs and I would find two of the three doors
locked. That's pretty good average. What do you think?
Yeah.
And so two of them are shut.
Okay, so I can't tell you the years it took for us to come up with the solution to that problem. The solution is I lock the doors.
Why didn't we start that earlier? Okay.
Because he's not going to change. And it was silly for us to continue this habit, but we got locked into this habit. You're laughing, but you have those same stuck places in your... You are. You have those same stuck places. If I had simply acknowledged the fact that our backgrounds are different, he was never going to lock the doors the way I wanted them locked. And if I just lock the doors, then he goes to bed happy. I go to bed happy. Everything's great. Acceptance. I'm telling you right now, acceptance of the parts of your mate that are not going to change. Stop fighting about it and just accept it. Yeah. You'll both be happy.
Okay, let me give you a couple advice from things we've learned. Number one is stop using incompatibility as an excuse for selfishness. People say, well, we're just incompatible. I don't even believe in that term. It's a term made up by divorce attorneys to justify divorce. The fact is, you're not compatible with anybody. There's nobody who's completely compatible with you. So no matter who you married in the world, you're incompatible. Incompatible is not an excuse for divorce because you're not compatible with anybody. You're unique. And there's another word for incompatibility, selfishness. I want what I want, you want what you want, and then our heads butt. Then another thing is, I want you to talk about this. You've got to celebrate the real, not the ideal.
Yes.
Because this was a big issue.
Yeah. And we made a couple of marriage problems right off the bat. First of all, we didn't know each other when we got married, which is a whole other story.
I knew you were sexy.
That was a big problem. Yeah, well, you knew. That was all you really needed to know. So really, we didn't know each other. Stop. I'm trying to talk. We don't advise not knowing the other person very well.
Not.
That was a mistake. Second, I read too many romance novels as a teenager. And I decided, I had it in my head of what, you know, a husband was going to be like. And it was completely unrealistic. And I set him up for failure because I was looking for some, you know, dime store novel character instead of a real person who was, it got in the way of me loving and accepting the real person because I had a very stupid set of things in my head of what
it was
going
to
be.
Let me just cut through it here. She thought she was getting Fabio. She got Flabio. You might write this one down. A great marriage is the union of two great forgivers.
And marriages that are happy are couples who have decided to be happily incompatible.
Happily incompatible.
That's
in fact,
us.
Every couple has a song, and our song is Huey Lewis.
Stuck with you.
Happy to be stuck with you. And if you know the words of that song, so you know...
We thought about giving up,
yeah.
You know, but we always
came back. We had a lot of problems, but we got the same address. Let's just stay together.
Same as Okay, so season, spring, busy. You know, what can you do to to create oneness and maintain oneness. Summer, bank on those good times and invest for the harder times. When it's fall and there's change, you're going to have to adjust when it's good things and accept when there's stuff that isn't going to budge. And then it leads us to winter. And if you stay married long enough, every couple is going to go through winter. It's that time when the bottom falls out. It's when there's deep loss and deep grief. For us, you know our situation. I've had cancer twice, and then we lost our son Matthew. And it's when your marriage takes a hit that sometimes you think we're not going to be able to get through this. Yeah. It could be an affair. Yeah. There could be a betrayal. Yeah. There could be a child that ends up in jail. There can be mental illness, bankruptcy, I mean, cancer.
Any crisis.
Most of you are not going to lose a child the way that we have, and I'm grateful for that's not going to happen, but you're still going to have to decide, how do we face it when our marriage goes through that winter time when things are just breaking your heart? How do you survive and thrive in grief and in loss?
Well, a couple things. What we've learned, a crisis cannot destroy your marriage. What destroys it is your response to that crisis. Okay? Doesn't matter what the crisis is. The crisis cannot destroy your marriage. What will destroy it is the way you choose to respond to it. And one of the ways you must choose to respond to it is this. We've learned, don't judge your mate's feelings or try to talk them out of their feelings in a crisis. Why do we do this? You know, when somebody has a feeling and you don't have it, you immediately start trying to talk them out of it. That's dumb. Feeling's just a feeling. A feeling is neither right nor wrong. It's just a feeling. And so instead of me trying, when somebody's afraid, don't try to talk them out of their fear. Just sympathize with their fear. When somebody's sad, don't try to talk them out of their sadness. Just sympathize with their sadness. Don't try to talk them out of their fear. See, my fears are perfectly rational. Yours are stupid. And my feelings are always justifiable. Yours make no sense. And one of the things when Matthew died is I made the decision, and Kay did too, that whatever we were feeling, we were just going to be there for each other. And if the feeling was anger, we share that anger. If the feeling was depression, we share that depression. If it was grief, we share the grief. We don't try to talk each other out of it. We just feel it. And even when you don't feel it.
Well, yeah, because sometimes when you're going through a winter season, when you're experiencing loss, you don't always feel the exact same time at the same moment. And, and what Rick's saying is that we just, again, decided to be intentional in staying connected. Because Matthew was ill for such a long time, mentally ill for such a long time, and his mental illness just kept getting worse, there were periods of time when I would look ahead to the possibility that he might take his life and would become very fearful that if he were to die, that the conflict that he and I already had over how to parent, how to relate to him, because I would think we should do this, he would think we should do this, and we would have different... I just thought that the conflict was so painful at times that if Matthew lost, that in grief we would have that same conflict.
Not
and
that,
that
we
maybe,
would divorce.
Yeah, that we would lose the intimacy. We would lose the closeness in our relationship. Yeah. But I can tell you, really, in complete honesty, that our relationship is closer than it's ever been. And it's largely because of the decisions that we have made of how to face it as a couple in staying connected. Physical touch is a really important part when you're going through winter time. Because for me, I tend to withdraw. When I am feeling sad or feeling lost or angry, I tend to withdraw in a shell and not receive comfort, let myself be comforted. Me, I've had to decide to reach out to Rick, to hold his hand, to touch his arm, to let him put his arm around me when I'm feeling really sad, to not try to walk through it alone, but to do that together.
You know, one of the things Kay said is that she was wondering, what's it going to do to our relationship? It wasn't a fear of divorce, because one of the things you have to do, knowing you're going to have crises in your life. If you're married for a lifetime, you're going to have a lot of crises in your life. You're going to have a lot. What you have to do is, what we did when we got married, we closed the escape hatch to our marriage, like on a submarine. Closed it, locked it, double locked it, and threw the key away. And I can honestly say, in that all the crises, all the changes, divorce has never been an option. People said, have you ever considered divorce? Okay, no. Because God says, I hate divorce.
But I have to say that there have been times when it has felt, our relationship has felt so fractured and so irretrievably broken. Mm. Things that we'd said to each other, things that we had felt, the ways that we had treated each other. I'm just being really honest with you, that there have been times that divorce was attractive in the sense of, I'm not sure I want to even breathe the same air you're breathing right now.
Especially after garlic.
No, after your hot sauce. Mm.
That hurts.
But when we got married, we decided we wanted to grow old together. That was part of it. When we said yes to each other on June 21st, 1975, we fully intended to grow old together. It's what we have intended to do. And so that has kept us in many of the moments when it truly would have been easier to just say, I am so done. I am done. I'm not putting up with that another second. You and I can't forgive you. We're just done. And to know that that commitment and that vow has kept us. It's been a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. There's a lot of blood on the floor, a lot of sweat and tears. But it's so worth it.
It is worth it.
You could say, why go through all that blood, sweat, and tears?
It.
Why? If it's so hard and it's so challenging, why go through all that blood, sweat, and tears? Because it is so worth it to, as Rick said, to know, to be fully known, to know somebody and be fully known, to know that we're reflecting God's love for his people. That's one of the reasons that is it's worth keeping going. And I would just say, the last thing I would say is, for those of you that are in your late teens or 20s or 30s and honestly are a little frightened of marriage, you've seen your own family, you've seen the trouble in your own family, you've seen it with friends, with relatives, maybe some of your best friends have already gotten married and their marriage is already over, and you're thinking, I can't do it. I don't know that I've got what it takes to survive in a marriage for my whole lifetime. Please don't be afraid. Please don't be afraid of marriage. It is so worth it. It is worth every bit of energy you can put into it. God will be your helper. God will give you grace. Your church will stand by you. We'll pray for you. We'll be there offering practical help. You pray for us. We'll pray for you. You pray for us. Don't be afraid to get married.
You know, and for those of you, maybe you were in a marriage that didn't last, we feel your pain. We love you. We want you here. What matters is not so much what you've been through, but what direction your feet are headed now. And your commitment to the sanctity of marriage, whether you ever marry again or not, that you honor marriage, not based on an experience that you had. It really is worth it. You know, one of the benefits that Kay and I had is we both were products of long marriages. Kay's parents were married 60 years before her daddy died. My parents were married 52 years before my mom died. And I'll always be grateful to my parents that my parents got married during World War II. And they got married, they were only together 3 months, and my dad was shipped off to the South Pacific for the next 2 years and did not see his bride for 2 years. And he was involved in Guadalcanal and in Solomon Islands and in a lot of hand-to-hand combat. And he came back from that war experience a changed man. He was not the same man that my mom had married. My mom could have said, you're not the guy I married, and walked out. If she had made that decision, I wouldn't be sitting here. You wouldn't be sitting here. There would be no Saddleback Church. There would be no purpose-driven life. There would be no peace plan. There would be no millions of people touched. A lot of times when we're in pain, all we can think of is, I got to get out of this pain. But you don't have any idea how that decision is going to affect other people around you. And you need to just be very careful about it. Now, maybe you didn't grow up in a stable marriage. Okay. You start the new legacy for your family tree. You make the commitment. We're going to break the cycle of divorce. We're going to break the cycle of whatever. Okay? You make that decision. Let me say a couple things. We'll close. If you're married, make a recommitment to lock the escape hatch. Throw away the key and say, we're going to make this thing work if it kills us. It nearly did us several times. But it is worth it. The joy of a long-term relationship, the comfort of a long, the support, the flat-out fun of knowing that this woman knows me completely and still likes me. That gives me an ability to handle enormous amounts of stress and enormous amounts of pressure. Because the Bible says two are better than one. It's one of the values of marriage. So make a commitment to your marriage to stay in it and work on it rather than... People say, well, the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. The grass is not greener on the other side of the fence. The grass is not greener on this side of the fence. The grass is greener where you water it. It's where you put your energy. And so, and if you haven't been married, make a commitment that if I get married, it's a lifetime commitment. Why don't we pray for the couples?
Great.
And why don't you lead us?
Should we have them stand?
Sure.
No. Okay. So we're going to ask you to stand if you're married, and even if you came to church mad at each other today, and it happens. We've all been there.
It happens.
And you may even be in that winter season, and it really doesn't feel that great, but great. We're going to pray for you.
All right.
Father, I pray for these men and women who are standing and are recommitting even just in the smallest way, some of them. God, I thank you for those who are in that spring season and they're busy and they have maybe gotten into a pattern and a habit of busyness. I pray that you would give them good insight into how they can reconnect with each other and how they can make time for their relationship. For those that are in the summer, God, their things are just going so well. We're grateful for that and thank you for that. May they be wise enough to invest now and put down their roots deeply into you and into the relationship to store up for the harder times that inevitably come. And God, for those who are in that season of change, and there's just been tremendous change, and maybe some are new here, I pray that they will be able to adjust to that and see it through the eyes of wonderful new doors opening for them. For those, God, which is probably every couple in this room, who encounter those stuck places of in their relationship when things just don't move and they don't change, may we be wise enough and loving enough and mature enough to accept without demanding that our mate be perfect or be exactly the way that we want them to be, but to offer the grace to them that you have given to us. For those, Lord, who are in that winter, that cold place, there's been loss, there's been grief, there may have been betrayal, there may have been deep agony, and they are wounded as they stand here. Would you, Holy Spirit, blow the warm of your love and your fire back into their marriage, comfort where there's brokenness, repair what has been torn apart. You are a good God, and we trust you to bless the marriages in our church. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks so much, Rick. What a great message today. Hey, if you've been listening to the broadcast for a while, well, you know that Rick is always saying that God wants your relationships to be more than just fair, average, good, or even great. He wants your relationships to be awesome, life-giving, filled with joy and purpose. And that's why he created the Awesome Relationships Bible Study. Through this 4-session video-based Bible study with workbook, you'll discover the tools you need to build an awesome marriage and family, awesome friendships, and most importantly, an awesome relationship with God. This resource is perfect for individual or group study. Be sure to request Pastor Rick's Awesome Relationships video-based Bible study when you give a gift to help Daily Hope take the hope of Jesus to a hurting world. It's our way of saying thanks. Just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com, or you can text the word HOPE to 70309. Again, that's the word HOPE to 70309. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.